was acting. It was all acting. It was all acting. Thank you very much, yeah. And I'm sure we're now a lot wiser about whiskey than we were when that film began. Listen, my next guest is one of the most influential songwriters and performers of this modern age. His groundbreaking work in soul music as spoker for the Sexual Express Train is evident in just about every smoochy slow dance you ever had. His albums include Shaft, Joy, Hot Buttered Soul. His voice rumbles deeper than a Catholic priest. And he's a fine actor too. This is a real treat. So lay bare your libidos and offer up righteous respect to the mighty, mighty King of the Groove, Mr. Isaac Hayes!
Oh, man.
I've had some people on this show, and I'm not hot buttering you up, but when they said Isaac Hayes, I said, well, not too really. I said, yeah, Isaac Hayes is coming on. It's fantastic to see you, and by tribute, we're perhaps the only show you've ever been on that didn't play Shaft as you walked on. Now, what is your attitude to that song after all these years? Because it's obviously been good to you, but nevertheless, it's like, oh, Isaac Hayes equals Shaft. What is your attitude towards that song?
Well, I'm grateful, you know, because of the success of it. It was something that I never dreamed that would be that big. I expected to happen like it did. And
it actually made more money than the film did eventually, yeah?
Yeah, I'm afraid it did.
So given your humble background, what would have been the big break for you? When did it start?
Well, I wanted to be a singer at first.
And was this a hindrance then? Did you think, well, listen to this voice, nobody sings like this?
Well, Jim Stewart, the owner of Stax, told me, "Ike, your voice is too good and we can't record you." And so I guess it's back to the drawing board. So then I learned to play piano.
I
was desperate. It was a gig that was offered to me, and it was New Year's Eve. And I said yes before I realized. I said, oh, second thought, what am I going to do when they find out I can't play? So I showed up anyway. I showed up that night, and I got there before anybody. I was at the piano. All I could play was chopsticks and something like that. So it was New Year's Eve now, and everybody was feeling pretty good, you know. Mm. So and the musicians started to file in and said, hey, man, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Lead vocalist, he came up. Do y'all know, Stand By Me? Yeah, we know that. I'm sitting there, oh, God, they're going to find me out.
Chopsticks.
And when they kicked the tune off, the guy sounded horrible. I said, well, I don't care. Now, they sound horrible. They're not going to find me out.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. The guys couldn't play, and we sound horrible. But New Year's Eve, everybody was drunk. The club owner came up and said, you know, you boys sound pretty good. Y'all want a regular job? Yeah, we'll take it.
I'd hate to say that was a unique story, but I bet a lot of rock and roll starts like that, doesn't it? I'll tell you, rock and soul. And so we come to this early 70s, the whole Hot Buttered Soul, the Black Moses period, all of that. How did you arrive at that image?
You mean the Black Moses thing?
Yeah, I mean the shaved head, the heavyweight gold, which everybody rips off after, and the deep voice and but did you actually make a decision? That's how I'm going to look. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, it was out of necessity. What happened? During those days, musicians wore their hairs very relaxed and close to their head, and I had to sleep with a stocking cap on at night to keep it in place. It was in the summertime, and you're sweating. Come on, and I said, wait a minute, I'm sick of this. So I went to the barbershop and had Mr. King to cut it all off. When I walked outside, I said, wow, it's a breeze out here. This feels good. And that's what I want. Then I kept that look. I had the beard all the time. And people would say, look at that bald-head guy with a beard. Because, you know, that's scary.
But it was an unlikely look for what became like the sex symbol of the soul scene.
Yeah, I didn't have an idea what was going to happen.
And you never smiled. There was all of this going on every photo I ever saw. I mean, there's a photo. We've got one photo of you, I think. It was always stripped to the waist, wasn't it? Yeah, all of this going on. There's all of that. So you're laughing. Did you mean that? It was the image.
Well, it was the image. It was a mystique. And I like playing behind the shades. And
see, today, a lot of people will say, yeah, well, that's what soul singers look like. But nobody did then. That was,
no.
Nobody was stripped to the waist with all that gold. And forgive me, but I don't know the history. Maybe it's an indelicate question. Two words here. Barry White. How were you feeling about all of that? Because, you know, he kind of stole the thunder there for a little while.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's my buddy. I mean, Barry and I go back a long way. We're good friends, and he's very talented. I mean, when he first came out, people thought it was me.
Yeah, they, everyone did, yeah.
Of course, I knew better because I knew how I sound.
Well, he had hair for a start, yeah.
And he's much bigger than I am.
Is he? I've never met him. I mean, I presume he is. I'm not saying you're big, but sometimes
big,
photos
big
do.
Tall guy, man.
TV
big.
Makes me look a little fat. Who knew? But there it is. All right. I've got a new American friend here. Give me a break. But you are friends with Barry White then? But
yeah. In fact, we did an album. On his previous album, we did a tune together on it called Dark and Lovely. And we went.
You and Barry White singing together?
We sang together. We went to.
That explains the Los Angeles earthquake, doesn't it?
Well, right on. We went to Ghana and did the video.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, not Ghana, to Cote d'Ivoire.
Oh, yeah.
And it was some beautiful girls that we had. We had fun doing the casting.
Let me ask you that. Of course, you were the. It's been parodied, and everyone likes the. You know, now say it's that kind of. Almost, they like to make it a cliche look, the baby living in the deep voice and all of that. Did you actually see it through? Were you messing around all over the place? What was the reality of being a sex god and your day-to-day living in those days? Were you doing it?
Yeah. What am I supposed to say? Well, I'm away from America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I put it this way. I'm very honest in my music, and everything I write about
is from experience.
Thank you.
Ah.
So that's all I can say.
Oh, so you took care of business. One way. So how do you feel like being you're the sensual man, the one who alluded to the champagne and the furs and diamonds? Now it's raw. Now it's in your face raw. I mean, can you buy all that? I mean, it's saying Snoop Doggy Dog there. Can you hear the album? Think, oh, there's no holes barred anymore. Can you
well,
with that?
Some of the things I don't go along with, you know, the gangster type rap, the ones that you know, provokes violence, I can't deal with that. And where they disrespecting women, calling them bad names and things like that, I can't go along with that. But the other things I can deal with, because it's, you know, they're doing, it's creative what they're doing in their own right. But the backlash is there needs to be more live playing.
Yeah, and that's what you're back doing, yeah?
Yes.
Fantastic. I don't want it to win, but we got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaac Hayes.
Real. Thanks, I'll go to the next one.
Yeah, I will. I've got to see you. 2 seconds.